The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Max Boot, senior fellow at the Council of Foreign Affairs and author of The Road Not Taken, Edward Lansdale and the American Tragedy in Vietnam. Max, how are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you.
So, who is Edward Lansdale?
Edward Lansdale was this legendary American covert operative who, in the early 1950s, masterminded the defeat of a communist insurgency in the Philippines, and then in 1954 went to Saigon and helped to create the new state of South Vietnam. And later on, he came back to the United States and served in the Pentagon and became very much alienated from the U.S. policy in Vietnam because he wanted to protect South Vietnam, but he didn't think that the Kennedy and Johnson administrations were going about it the right way. He protested against President Kennedy's decision to overthrow his friend, Ngo Dinh Diem, the president of South Vietnam, which he warned would be a disaster, as indeed it was. And then he protested against the Johnson administration's notion that they could protect South Vietnam by bombing North Vietnam and sending 500,000 American troops to South Vietnam. He said that that was not going to work. The only way you could win the war ultimately was to foster a stable, legitimate, and popular state in South Vietnam, that you weren't going to kill your way to victory. But he was not listened to. And so that's why the book is called The Road Not Taken, because he had an alternative path that was not implemented.
He's kind of a sketchy character to some people. Some people claimed he's a con man, but you're saying no, he wasn't.
Now, there's a lot of myths and legends about Lansdale. Some people, he was lionized at one point. He was said to be the model for the quiet American and the ugly American. He was called the American James Bond, the T.E. Lawrence of Asia. And on the other side, there were also people who said that he was a con man and a simple advertising man. And what I try to do in the book is to show the complex reality of Ed Lansdale, which did not live up either to the hype, but certainly did not live down to some of the attacks on him. But he was actually a very sophisticated and nuanced observer who knew a lot about what was going on in places like the Philippines and South Vietnam. And he was really a leadership whisperer of genius, because he cultivated leaders like Ramon Magsaysay, the president of the Philippines, Ngo Dinh Diem, the president of South Vietnam. But his Achilles heel was, ultimately, he had trouble cultivating his own leaders, and he wound up being at odds with people like Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara, and that forced him out of the Pentagon and ended his ability to influence America's Vietnam policy.
Well, you know, I mean, let's be fair. To do what he accomplished, you kind of have to be a little bit of a con man inside yourself anyway. So, I mean, it really isn't I don't think it's a bad thing. I know that's what they're trying to make it out to be, but it really isn't a bad thing being a con man and to be able to pull off what he achieved.
I'm not sure that con man is the right way to put it. I would say that he was very deft at psychological warfare, at persuasion, at propaganda, whatever you want to put it. But, you know, his real genius was he had a real talent for empathy, that he could win over foreign leaders. He could listen to them. He could win their trust. He could deal with them from a position of friendship. And that made him a very powerful American envoy in Asia, because he could influence these folks in a way that we're often hard put to do.
So explain a little bit of his career path as well. So, you know, how he got involved, first of all, and then he really was kind of operating in the gray areas, right? Had a little bit of freedom to kind of move about as he wanted.
Yeah, he was a very unconventional operator. He was certainly one of the most unusual generals in the history of the U.S. Air Force or any other service. He was a former advertising man from the 1930s and World War II. He got into the OSS. Later, he was in the Army and then in the Air Force. But his greatest triumphs were achieved for the CIA, working for the CIA in the Philippines and Vietnam in the 1950s. But he didn't really fit in anywhere on the organizational chart. He wasn't, you know, he was a very unusual Air Force guy because he didn't really believe in air power. He didn't think that bombing was going to win these wars. He wasn't really a conventional CIA officer either, because he didn't believe in recruiting agents. He believed in influencing foreign leaders in a friendly and empathetic way. So he was really unique, and you know, he didn't have a natural constituency in the U.S. government. He went his own path, and in the 1950s, he was lucky enough to find high-level champions in Washington, like CIA Director Alan Dulles. But in the 1960s, his luck finally ran out, and his bureaucratic enemies ganged up on him.
So here's a guy who was an advertising man, served in World War II, obviously took some of those skills and said, advertising, and we have another word for it, you know, propaganda, you know, applied in certain places, was going to be a significant part. Now, we know propaganda, and good propaganda, even from the Allies, was used in World War II, but he knew this was going to be more significant. Do you think he got that the world had changed that much and really wanted to lead with propaganda over something like bombing? Because it was a different type of war. Do you think he realized that it was completely different?
Yeah, and he had a major advantage over all of these U.S. generals who fought in World War II in Korea and then subsequently shaped policy in Vietnam. They thought in a very conventional mindset, because they thought in a conventional war mindset, you bomb the enemy, you win. And Lansdale realized, no, this is a different kind of war. This is counterinsurgency. The enemy is this shadowy guerrilla force. You can't really bomb them into submission. You need a different approach, focused on psychology, on politics, all these other things. And these conventional generals like William Westmoreland did not get what he was talking about, but he was really a pioneer in what we would today call counterinsurgency, a word that didn't even exist when he started out in the 1950s, this notion that the way you beat these insurgencies is not with more force, but with less force. I mean, he told the Philippine Army and the Vietnamese Army, you know, don't go out there and bombard these villages and kill lots of innocent people, because you're going to make more enemies than you eliminate. The way to win is to protect the people, to treat the people as brothers. And once they start to trust you, they will rat out the insurgents in your midst. That's really counterinsurgency 101. And Ed Lansdale invented a lot of it in the 1950s.
Yeah, now we just recognize that as a part of all of our safety, security, military operations, defense. We know that is standard. But back then, no, it was new.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of this stuff is conventional wisdom today, but it was very unconventional wisdom when Ed Lansdale was developing these ideas, and he was one of the most influential pioneers in counterinsurgency thinking, and somebody who has not gotten the credit that he deserves for his role in developing some of these concepts.
So what did he do after World War II, maybe even during the Korean War, the time between World War II and the Vietnam War? Because that was an amazing time. We talked about it just a couple of days ago, that there's reason to believe, based on the breakup of the Soviet Union and KGB files being exposed, that the Russians, for years, the Soviet Union, after World War II, had been seeding the Middle East with anti-American propaganda to create dissension. So we would have to fight that wars, terrorists and everything else. That we know that was going on. Did he know what was going on there? Did he learn? Was he involved in any American campaigns?
He was between World War II and the Vietnam War. He was very closely involved in the Philippines, where there was another massive communist insurgency known as the Hook Rebellion. He was in the Philippines from 1945 to 1948. He developed very close relationships with a variety of Filipinos. In fact, he developed a great romantic relationship in his life with this Filipino lady named Pat Kelly, who became his longtime mistress and eventually his second wife after his first wife died. But then he went back to the Philippines in 1950 while the Korean War was going on, and while right after communists had taken over in China. This was a very dark time, and a lot of people in Washington feared that the communists were about to take over in the Philippines, but there were no troops to spare because all the troops were needed in Korea. And so instead of sending multiple army divisions, the CIA sent Ed Lansdale on a small covert action team with the job of defeating the Hook Rebellion. And essentially, Lansdale did that by cultivating this defense minister, Ramon Magsaysay, pioneering counterinsurgency principles in the Philippines, and then helping Magsaysay win the presidency of the Philippines in 1953 because he was an honest reformer who was popular with the people. His election really was the final blow against the Hook Rebellion. And so by 1954, the Hooks, these communist insurgents in the Philippines, had been defeated. And this became one of the great American Cold War victories that was achieved without sending a single American soldier into battle. It was all the work of Ed Lansdale working with Magsaysay and other Filipinos. So that was how he made his name. And that's why he was sent to Saigon in 1954.
So it was really what he did there. They said, we need you in the Vietnam War. We need you to take your talents and help out.
Exactly. Yeah, when the state of South Vietnam was being created in 1954, Alan Dulles, the CIA director, sent him there, and his instructions were, do what you did in the Philippines, and basically he did.
That is like something from a movie, though, where you're good at a particular skill and they're like, bring me Lonsdale, right? I mean, they call you up. That's got to be kind of a good feeling, right?
He was becoming a legendary figure. I mean, he was often said to be the model for the protagonist in Grant Green's The Quiet American. Probably not accurately, but he was identified with that protagonist, and then he was said to be the model for one of the positive characters in The Ugly American, Colonel Edwin Barnum Hillendale, really modeled on Ed Lansdale. And so by the late 1950s, he was becoming one of the least secret agents on the planet. He was actually pretty celebrated.
So real quick, before I let you go, Max, what lessons did he teach us, or did he learn and should teach us about right now? What can we apply from his era and propaganda and winning over hearts and minds of civilians and not bombing them that we can apply to win everywhere around the globe that we have skirmishes now?
Well, I think there are a lot of parallels because we are engaged in another great counterinsurgency, this time not against communist insurgents, but against Islamist insurgents. And if you think about how we're going to win the war on terror, it's not going to be with American combat troops. We're not going to send hundreds of thousands of troops to occupy the Middle East. Been there, done that, tried it, didn't like it, probably not going to do it again anytime soon. So if we don't win with American combat troops, how are we going to win? Well, I would suggest with American advisors, these small teams of military, diplomatic, and intelligence personnel working with these frontline states, much as we just did to fight Islamic State. And if you think about advisors, you have to think about Ed Lansdale, who is one of the most celebrated and storied advisors of the 20th century, right up there with T. Lawrence. He has a lot of lessons to teach, I think both some bad, some he didn't do everything right, but a lot of them good. And the good lessons really have to do with the way that he mobilized empathy as a weapon of war. He sent emotional intelligence marching into battle. He was able to forge these lasting relationships with these foreign leaders and to influence them to do what we needed them to do. And that's something that we can emulate. We could really use an army of Ed Lansdales today to go out and influence all these frontline states from Afghanistan to Iraq to Somalia to what have you.
Ed, or Max, rather, fantastic book. It's absolutely amazing. We need more education on stuff like this. What I'll do is I'll tweet out a link to it and post a link to it on Facebook so people can find it. The book is The Road Not Taken, Edward Lansdale and the American Tragedy in Vietnam. Max, thanks, buddy.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
Knowledge is power. Tweet at us with the hashtag #WhatILearnedToday. This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.